Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy, what season is it?
Summer. What?
This is... Here I was using my senses. I'm sweating a lot. It seems like it's summer. Yeah. You're wrong. It's gender season. You say, what exactly is a gender season? It's a period during the year where you feel more like one gender than another. And if this does not cause you to have your guts moved, not sure what will. Jesus seeing the children of Israel scattered, they were dispirited, they were downcast, utterly confused about, well, pretty much everything. Okay, maybe not quite as confused as we appear to be today, but Jesus saw these people who were rudderless, who were confused, hopeless, purposeless, and his guts were moved. And ours should be too, because this is just tragic what we are seeing before our very eyes. Young people are now identifying as gender season. So their genders change with the time of year. One of these individuals, according to the Daily Mail, saying, I feel more masculine in the summer. Lost. Hurting. Perhaps identifying as one gender in summer, another in the fall. So in other words, your gender is basically like a wardrobe. Last night, spent some time with Dr. Andrew Walker. He's in from Southern Sem. He's the ethics guru there. He was delivering lectures on how to build Christian ethics. And he shared an example of how we can perhaps possibly find some sort of common ground with people in an effort to show them there's a better way, that there is a higher way, that Christianity offers something that isn't just a clamoring voice in the marketplace. No, we've got something so good for you in every regard, eternally, spiritually, morally, all available to you through Jesus Christ. And he shared the scene of a woman with her baby who had been crying, which she picked up and she put in her arms and just tenderly lulled into calmness. And then she stares into her child's eyes and the child looks up and glows and beams with a reflection of mom in her eyes. Is that a good scene or a bad scene? Even our unbelieving friends would say, well, that's a good thing, right? How's about same mom, same child who cries and mom just shakes the child? Would you say that that's a good thing or it's a bad thing? Hopefully they would agree. I think they would. And there's a reason for that. There are things built into the fabric of the universe that we have agreement on. Some things are good. Some things are lovely. Some things are worthy of praise. Some things are tragic. So now my question for you, my unbelieving friend, is how does your worldview account for those decisions, those verdicts, those judgment calls you made on what is lovely and what is wicked? You don't have a worldview that accounts for those things. Let me share with you how Christianity helps you to make sense of reality and the world around you. Because it does explain reality, and it does explain why a mom rocking her baby is good and shaking her baby is wicked. May I share that with you? And maybe, just maybe, we could use that same sort of approach, perhaps, with people who are confused about their genders to the degree where they think that it can change with the seasons. maybe asking them, do you think it's good that people are able to swap what they think they are because the thermometer changes? Does that really sound like a life that is going to be constant, consistent, and not dangerous? Furthermore, what do you think would make more sense? If an individual who is confused about their gender, they went about the business of injecting a lot of hormones, then using the knife to remove body parts, to use other body parts to create what we hope would be new body parts, or would it be better for that individual to become comfortable in their own skin? And I wonder if maybe we might be able to at least show them that some things are better than others, and we actually do agree on these things. So rather than going to war again, which certainly we can do with the transgender issue, how's about perhaps to the degree that you can try to find some commonality without it being such an explosive conversation? An individual writing for Fox, this wasn't a report. That's normally what you see in Fox News, that they do a report on somebody who detransitioned. Well, not in this instance. They actually let this young lady write. Her name is Prisha Mosley. I began gender transition at 16. This is the headline. I was lied to in a terrible way. And then the article begins. My name is Prisha. I'm a 25-year-old woman and detransitioner. Since childhood, I've struggled with my mental health. As is the case for many girls, my teen years were particularly difficult. This is very well documented. It is puberty that is typically, not always, but typically the time where such confusion begins, she continues. At age 14, I suffered from a sexual assault. This young girl was damaged. She was abused and confused because of it. We can get that, can't we? At age 15, I was hospitalized for depression. By age 16, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and an eating disorder. I engaged in self-harm by cutting myself, which became so serious I was taken to the emergency room. And guess what the doctor's solution was? We've got to alter your body, not your thinking, your body. Starting when I was 16 and through my young adult years, doctors and counselors set me on a path of medicalized gender transition. They told me changing my body to look like a boy's body would cure my mental health problems. Does that even make sense to anybody? That somehow an altercation of the external would change and improve the internal? Look, I get it. You could argue, well, sure, sometimes that actually has an impact. And I don't think I'd argue that. You get an article of clothing and it's like you put it on, you go, hey, kind of good, but that's just an immediate temporary feeling. That doesn't change your psyche. That just maybe gives you a little bit of joy in the moment. Cutting off body parts to calm your eating disorder, your obsessive compulsive disorder, your depressive disorder, that ain't science in my book. They told me injecting large amounts of testosterone into my female body would be good for me. I would say those people are evil and they shouldn't be practicing medicine, and I wouldn't let my children near them with a 100-yard pole. That's just evil. It caused significant, I don't want to get into it, but she can no longer be intimate, which means having a baby is going to be a challenge. Breastfeeding is not going to happen. I have severe pain in my shoulders, neck, and, well, pretty much everywhere else. I'm unable to nurse. Should I be able to conceive one? I have pain where I had my self altered on top. That's what happened to this confused, hurt, broken young lady. There's a difference between those who campaign for evil and those who fall prey and victim to it. And this is one of those young ladies. There are many teenagers out there struggling with their mental health like I was. They need to be supported, not given sterilizing medications that have their body parts then removed. Grateful, she summoned up the courage to share that. What do we do with it? Maybe, perhaps, possibly, in discussing these issues with our unbelieving friends, we can simply paint a picture for them. Which picture is prettier? Mutilating of somebody confused or jumping in and helping somebody who is confused so that they can think rightly and live joyfully? Then, of course, you can explain where that worldview came from. And maybe, just maybe, more people might be persuaded and more people might actually, I don't know, get saved. This is Wretched Radio.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Picture this, later this year, 8 brilliant minds will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, if you're looking for a way to enhance your spiritual growth, let me point you in the direction of our video resources and MP3s that are available in the Wretched store at wretched.org. Video series like Transformed and Road Trip to Truth offer visual and engaging ways to understand and apply biblical principles. And for those who prefer audio while you're driving to and from work, we have collections that cover a range of topics from theology to practical Christian living. You can shop right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Andrew Walker. He's one of 8 new voices joining this ministry later this year. Dr. Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions. He's also an associate professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology. Your support can help us bring even more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today. All of the details right now are available at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, the Masters Academy International, it's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. If you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that if and you want to at wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the true vine. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine planted in the desert. Jesus is the true vine, and those who trust in him are grafted in to receive life and nourishment from Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If and you're thinking, Friel, is there any good news today? The answer is, yeah, actually, there is. This is Wretched Radio. Let me introduce you to Dr. Andre von Mohl. You say, what's a Dr. Andre von Mohl? He's from the American College of Pediatrics. To the best of my knowledge, this is not a Christian organization. They recently held a press conference, and this is going to feel like a breath of fresh air.
Gender dysphoria is a diagnosis, whereas transgenderism is an ideology. The natural course of gender dysphoria is desistance by adulthood, conservatively in 85% of the cases.
In other words, it goes away.
Affirmed. Gender dysphoria carries with it the overwhelming probability of underlying mental health issues, adverse family dynamics, adverse childhood experiences, and autism spectrum disorder that usually predate the gender dysphoria itself. The probability of both desistance and underlying mental health and other issues is why watchful waiting, coupled with mental health evaluation and counseling for both patient and family, was once and is increasingly again recognized as the standard of care for minors with gender dysphoria.
I appreciate that. But we, of course, as believers, would go further than that. Just because you maybe sink into that and you accept that when you become 20, 25, it's still not right to try to swap bodies. Nevertheless, this is a breath of fresh air.
Systematic literature reviews done in the United Kingdom, Sweden, Finland, and Germany show that so-called gender-affirming healthcare is out of step with the evidence base for gender dysphoric youth. Transition affirmation is not proven to be safe or effective long-term. It does not reduce suicides. It does not repair mental health issues or trauma. Minors cannot give truly informed consent. Children have developing and immature brains. Their minds change often. They are prone to risk-taking. They are vulnerable to peer pressure, and they don't grasp long-term consequences.
Sorry. Somebody in a suit and tie standing at a podium with a press conference is actually speaking what we always have known. It's a fad. It's a social contagion. These kids are confused. They need help. They're not able to make decisions like this.
Refusing to provide gender transition procedures or so-called gender-affirming healthcare is non-discriminatory and is appropriate both professionally and scientifically. Withholding unproven interventions is non-discriminatory, and gender-affirming healthcare has neither been shown to be safe nor effective nor of more help than harm. Physicians take an oath to do no harm, and gender-affirming healthcare is documented to lead to harm. There are good mental health alternatives to gender-affirming healthcare, which address underlying issues rather than dodging them. Finally, there is always a more honest way to deal with gender confusion than the chemical sterilization and surgical mutilation of healthy young bodies.
Wasn't that nice to hear? It's certainly not the, you know what, it might actually be the majority view, but wow, the peer pressure these days, if you work in an institution that is predominantly progressive and you say, hey, you know, I'm not so sure we should be doing that to little children, you're probably going to get in trouble or maybe have the FBI show up your door and intimidate you. Jimmy, did you cover that story? Kind of out there on Texas. Somebody said something publicly about the amount of surgeries that they're seeing on confused children. Mm. Who's there? It's the FBI. We need to talk to you about what you said. And they were apparently less than subtle with their intimidation. That's what you... So what do you think most doctors are going to say in the workplace? But that isn't necessarily what they believe. Now, sadly, a lot of them do believe it, and they do think that they are doing good. Want some more fresh air? This is Dr. Jill Simmons, same press conference.
And we have serious concerns about the physical and mental health effects of the current protocols promoted for the care of children and adolescents in the United States who express discomfort with their biological sex. This declaration was authored by the American College of Pediatricians, but really, it was developed from the expertise of hundreds of doctors, researchers, and other healthcare workers and leaders who, for years, have been sounding the alarm on the harmful protocols that continue to be promoted by the medical organizations in the United States. Despite recent revelations from the leaked WPATH files and the recent release of the final report from the CAST review, these medical organizations have not changed course. So we are calling on these medical organizations of the United States, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Endocrine Society, the Pediatric Endocrine Society, the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association,
the
Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, to follow the science and their European colleagues and immediately stop the promotion of social affirmation, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries for children and adolescents who experience distress over their biological sex. In our declaration, we affirm that sex is a dimorphic, innate trait defined in relation to an organism's biological role in reproduction, male and female. This genetic signature is present in every nucleated somatic cell in the body and is not altered by drugs or surgical interventions.
That's right.
Consideration of these innate differences is critical to the practice of good medicine.
Yeah, okay, sorry to get in the middle of this breath of fresh air. That if you're dealing with somebody who has what we'll say is gender confusion, maybe asking them if they realize that whatever procedure they think might help them doesn't actually alter them at the genetic level, at the cellular level. All it's going to do is mutilate your body. It's not going to actually turn you into what you're longing for.
And to the development of sound policy for children and adults alike. Medical decision-making should be based upon an individual's biological sex. It should respect biological reality and the dignity of the person by compassionately addressing the whole person. We are here defying the claims made by these medical organizations in the U.S. that those of us who are concerned are a minority and that their protocols are consensus. They are not consensus, and we are speaking in a loud, unified voice, enough.
That is awesome. Let me introduce you now to Nicole Hayes from the Christian Medical and Dental Association, who chimed in and said, yeah, we're on board with that. Well, they've actually always been on board with that. And this is what she had to say.
As the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, we affirm the biblical and biological understanding of humankind as having been created and distinctly made and male and female.
Well done.
We are pleased to sign on to the Doctors Protecting Children Declaration as ethical healthcare professionals and others who are committed to providing and ensuring compassionate, evidence-based care, which is central to how we care for our patients. Medical decision-making should respect biological reality and the dignity of the person by compassionately addressing the whole person. Anything less is disastrous for patients and for the healthcare profession and will not promote human flourishing. We urge the practice of evidence-based care for children and adolescents struggling with gender dysphoria. This does not require courage, inasmuch as it only requires acknowledging truth and a desire to help and not harm.
In other words, there are some things that are obvious, and we shouldn't be taking scalpels to perfectly healthy bodies and injecting them with something that is foreign and alien to their genetic makeup. It is nice to hear a few voices speaking common sense. So salute to the American College of Pediatrics, the Christian Medical and Dental Association. May more join their tribe. Because I do believe the only thing that is keeping the majority of doctors, this is my musing, that's keeping the majority of doctors from saying, yeah, that's not good, is simply the pressure that they feel to maintain a progressive pastiche. Otherwise, they could be fired. May more have the courage to stand up and say, I'm sorry, I took a Hippocratic oath. I'm not supposed to do harm. And this is absolutely positively doing harm. And by the way, if you've ever wondered, why is the world so confused about defining what a woman is? This is why. Because if you can clearly state a woman is a biological female, well, then the whole transgender thing falls apart. because it's biological. What was the name of the woman who was, she was testifying? Was she the one who became our Supreme Court justice? I'm not a biologist. I can't tell you what a woman is. Oh, I see. So gender is connected to biology. Indeed, it is. And maybe we can help some people. Perhaps was just seeing a book. I where did I put that? I've been wanting to read it. Oh, it maybe got lost in the shuffle. Paul Todges, good biblical counselor, wrote a book, Help My Kid Is Transgender, says that they're transgender. This is a thing. It's a social contagion, and Christian parents, I'm afraid, need to be ready to respond to it, youth groups, et cetera, and maybe just telling them, hey, you're made that way by God, and He made you that way all the way down to the cellular level, and there is no medical procedure that can change that. Now, let's get you comfortable in your body, and until tomorrow, go serve your King.